Good evening. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5. As Pastor mentioned, we're going to the Solomon Islands on Tuesday. So please pray for wisdom, as there is so many things you need to consider when you're moving from one country to another for a time. So just pray that we won't miss any crucial things and that God will give us the grace to lead us in the right way, to find the right place to stay and all the rest of that comes with that. And also pray for the salvation of souls. We'll be doing a lot of evangelistic work over there as well. So do pray that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 to 14, if you could please be upstanding for the reading of God's word. Ephesians 5, and we'll read verses 1 to 14. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this service, Lord God, the opportunity as your people to gather together, Lord God, to sing your praises, Lord, to reflect on our Lord Jesus Christ, and also to hear from your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that today we will truly hear from you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the ministry of your Spirit would be evident. Lord, that you would work in the hearts of each person here tonight. Lord, I pray a personal application to each one, Lord God, as they reflect upon the truth and the principles laid out in your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give me a measure of your grace, Lord God, to be able to faithfully proclaim your word this night and to expound it, Lord. I just pray and ask that I would be hidden and hid behind your cross, Lord God. Reveal yourself to us, we pray. Lord, that when we leave this place, we would be joyful and thankful. Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ truly has touched our hearts in a special way tonight. So we ask and pray, Lord, that we could say that this night. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture is a very confronting one, but one of much importance. And in verses 1 to 2, we see the exhortation to be followers of God. And as followers of God, it means imitators of God. And therefore, as Christ was imitated God and the will of the Father, and we also need to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also need to be a living sacrifice, so that in turn we could be a sweet-smelling savour in the nostrils of our God. It reminds me of the time when Noah got off the ark with his family, and first thing they did was that they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Bible teaches that that was a sweet-smelling savour in the nostrils of God. And God was well pleased with the sacrifice. And then when we come into the New Testament, we know that we don't offer up sacrifices of bulls and goats, but the Bible teaches that we offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God that are acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we understand that as to be followers of God, there's going to be sacrifice. things we need to let go of, things we need to give up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and in turn God is well pleased with that as we become a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You go down to verses 3 to 5, and these verses simply outline the characteristics of those people which know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very, when I read this passage of Scripture and the Lord burdened my heart with this message, it was a very challenging thought, because there's a lot of believers that I know, people who claim that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, but when their lives are matched up with this list, it's a very scary thought, and it brings you to a point where you really wonder and consider if they truly are born again. Because the Bible teaches here in verses 3 to 5, "But fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Look what it says, verse 5 here. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." This is obviously not referring to the fact that we all fall into some of these sins at times, and we may struggle with some in particular, but what it's saying is that if your life is characterized by these sins, then you're not born again. Then if your life is dominated by these sins, well, even one of these sins, but it's got a hold on you that you cannot shake off, then it's a big question mark on whether the fact that you've been born again. And it's funny, because we see in a day, well, it's not actually funny, it's very sad, but I say funny, you know what context I mean that by. But it's very sad to see that there's a majority, a lot of Christians in Christianity would say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they made a profession of faith back in this time, and they'll give you a date and time, but there's never from that moment been a change in their life. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He didn't only die to pay for the penalty of sin, but He died to release you from the power of sin. And when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Meaning that we have the capability, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to say no to sin, to overcome sin, that sin no longer has dominion and full reign and control over our lives. You see, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ really cannot say no to sin. They are bound by it. They're servants to sin. They're dead in trespasses and sin. And in the flesh they cannot please God. There is nothing good and in and of themselves. They are driven by their own lusts, the Bible teaches. But as children of God, people who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and your life is dominated by these sins, is a big warning here. Because it very plainly teaches that if your life is dominated by these sins, you have no inheritance or no part in the kingdom of God and of Christ. It makes it very clear. Very, very clear. So it's a time, I guess, to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith on this level. Examine your life. See, where am I at in my walk with God? Where am I at in these sins? Are they predominant in my life? Have I seen no victory? Have I seen no change in my life since I've been bought by the blood of Christ? If there hasn't been a change, there's an issue. There's a question mark. It's something that should really be considered and looked into. So the Apostle Paul very clearly makes no room for, weak Christianity. Or makes no room for this idea of, I live as I please, because now I just got my ticket. Look, a lot of people think they have their ticket, but they don't really got the ticket. They're on the wrong flight. You see, they say that because I prayed a prayer, I got the ticket. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Obviously, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And once you're saved, praise God, we're kept by the power of God. But listen, when you get born again, you get born again. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now you become partakers of the divine nature. That means that God indwells the blood-bought child of God. And if God indwells you, there should be a change. The God who spoke the heaven and earth into existence, the God who created you with the words of His mouth, if He indwells us, I think there should be a bit of a change in our life. Don't you think so? And to say that you've been born again, but your life hasn't changed, I wonder. Maybe you got the wrong ticket. So go into verse 6. And verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you as to think that the sins listed in the previous verses won't harm you, or they won't lead to death, or won't lead to destruction. Let no man deceive you. And I'm convinced that we live in a generation where we are deceived, purely deceived by media and by Hollywood are the two main propagators of this deception. And I tell you how they are. Well, because it's very simple. They'll show you the man drinking his beer on the commercial with a nice smile on his face, but they won't show you lying down in the gutter in his own vomit. Deception. You see, they'll show you the smoker who's had a rough day and he comes down and sit down and he has a puff of his cigarette and all of a sudden he just feels so relaxed. Yeah, the nicotine kicks in, he's relaxed. But they never show you him coughing up blood in hospital with cancer, saying goodbye to his loved ones, do they? Deception. They show you a man winning the jackpot, but they never show you begging for bread, him begging for bread. They show you the pleasures of fornication in the movies and in the wickedness of this world, but they never show you the sexually transmitted diseases that enter many lives' death. They never show you AIDS. They never show you all these things that destroy people's lives. They show you that gossiping and backbiting is fun when you sit down and have a little chat on the side and slander people, but they never show you the broken friendships. They never show you the hearts broken when that person finds out what's really being said behind their back. They never show you the heartache that comes with that. They show you the man using foul language as if he's some tough bloke who just comes around and can swear at people and can push them around, but they never show you the black eye. They never show you that man after he has a foul mouth that someone comes and gives him one in the face. They don't show you that. They deceive you and they deceive you and deceive you. They show you the excitement of cheating, but they never show you the broken marriage. They never show you the heartache and the children that have no parents anymore because they went around with their own lusts and did their own things. And the Apostle Paul says, let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived that these sins that you're seeing listed out here are going to do you any good or give you any pleasure or give you anything that's good. Yeah, that may be pleasurable for a season, but get ready. Because the wrath of God, the Bible says here, cometh upon the children of disobedience. Look at verse number 6, it says it very clearly there. It says, let no man deceive you, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And we have to be very careful because we live in a day where we don't see very often the wrath of God coming out upon these people. We don't see the fire and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see God's grace and His amazing grace and His long-suffering to these ones. And praise God for that, because our world will be destroyed and consumed with fire if He judged us according to our works. As it says, we thank God that He's merciful to us. But we don't see that. But we have to be careful that we don't think that because we just don't see them in that, you know, in under the judgment of God. Listen, don't be deceived. It's coming. The wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. And just like Asaph said in Psalm chapter 73, he said, ah, look at the wicked and they're prosperous and they're doing, you know, and they're just living a life of happiness and look at them, they're going on and nothing's happening to them. But then he said, when I went into the house of the Lord and I considered their end, then I understood, okay, I see it now. I see that the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. So he encourages the people of God and says, stay away from that. Don't let anybody deceive you about these things. And I give a warning to young people because it's a very tempting thing to your flesh to want to take some of these avenues. And you'll get to the point where you want to start experimenting with different things and trying different things and seeing what would happen if I go here and do that or say this or make this relationship or this friendship. But little do you know that it's going to snatch you up, get you stuck in a situation where you're going to be miserable, terrible, heartbroken, and it's very sorrowful. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it's our duty as brethren to encourage one another to stay away from these things, to walk in the paths of holiness. So the Apostle Paul, from this basis, goes in and calls these believers to purity. He calls them to purity, and the whole portion of this passage is with the idea of shining as light. You see a word light appearing in verses 1 to 14 several times, and the Apostle Paul here is trying to get their attention and calls them to shine as lights. To shine as lights. He calls them to purity. Look at verse number 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Very simple, very straightforward, separate from them. Those who live this lifestyle, it is not for the Christian to be a partaker or to be with them or around them as they practice such wickedness. Obviously, we go to workplaces and we meet with people in that context. Obviously, we We have different settings where it's okay to go ahead and encourage and try and win souls for Christ in these ways. We understand that. But it's talking about being a partaker with them. To be someone who would go with them to these places. Somebody who would stand with them as they commit these acts of sin and of unrighteousness, and they would not feel uncomfortable around you. You'd be there partaking with them, or not shining your light on them, that they would be reproved. And we'll have a look at that a little bit more later. So he says, be not partakers with them. Don't be seen in their places. Don't be partakers in their efforts. And whatever they are, stay away from them. Be clear from them. And he calls them to remember whence they came from. Where they came from. He says, not only separate from them, but I call you to purity because I want you to remember a very important thing. And in verse 8 he says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness. But what? Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ye were sometimes darkness. Your past conversation, as we looked at this morning, this message when the Lord, just gave me this message not long ago, but before I heard it from James, and I was encouraged because the Lord really had something to say here about that. As we looked at the conversation being different to the world and now shining as lights, and I thought, wow, the Lord really wants to get our attention about something, I'm sure. So I thought, I'm not going to change the message. It's the Lord's message, so let's preach it and let's go on and see what the Lord has for us. So here we see that he said, don't be partakers with them in their efforts. Separate from them because you were once darkness, but now are ye light, so walk as children of light. And he calls them to purity, but their purity, to be not partakers with them, is based in something that is a remembrance. Something that they need to remember in order for them to be able to continually stay away from such. And the problem is that many of God's people forget that they were once darkness, and now that they are light in the Lord. Many of God's people forget that they are meant to be different from the world. Many of God's people forget that they were once in darkness, but now they are in light. Forget that. They forget that they've been delivered from the power of sin. They forget that they've been delivered from the bondage of sin. They forget that they've been saved by the grace of God, delivered from the wrath of God, from all this unrighteousness. They forget about that. They forget that they don't even recall that to their minds. They put that far away as they can. Why? Because they want to indulge themselves in their sinful lifestyles. Now Paul reminds him, he says, hang on, you were in darkness. You were in these things that showed us that these people were not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Those that practice these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You were once there. You were once there. But now you're children of light. Now you are light in the Lord. The contrast between darkness and light. What fellowship have light with darkness? What fellowship, what connection, what communion does it have? There's nothing. There's nothing they have in common. But many of God's people forget the call to purity because they forget that they've been saved from their sin. Listen, some of us here, before we were born again, were saved from a foul tongue. Some of us here, before we were born again, we were saved from anger and bitterness and pride, and we were saved from envy and strife, and we were saved from drunkenness and fornication. We were saved from these things. We were delivered from these things. Now we are washed, now we are clean, now we are sanctified. Then why on earth are we still in the same place where we were before? How does that happen? Because we forget. We forget that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We forget that now we were once children of darkness and now we are light in the Lord. And that's why the Apostle Peter says, I put you by way, stir you up by way of remembrance. And I want to stir you up by way of remembrance tonight, people of God, that we have been saved from all these things. We no longer have to live these lifestyles. We no longer have to do these things. We're not under that bondage anymore. We're free from that. We're free from that. We're free from the wrath of God. We've been set free from the power of sin. No more to live that way. No more to live that lifestyle. No more to live in fornication and uncleanness and in our minds deal with these issues. No more to have that thinking and that foul mouth. No more. We're set free. We're set free. Are you living like you've been set free? Or are you still walking in darkness? If you're walking in darkness, you're either not saved, or you need to come back to the light and walk as children of light. So remember the deliverance. In John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, Jesus said, And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How's your life? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it without blame before God? Or is it filthy? Is it dark? Does it need to be changed? Perhaps changed with the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps washed by the blood of the Lamb. I cannot make that call for you. You have to examine your own heart. Or maybe you just need to just repent and do the first works and come back and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul and mind. Come with him, come and serve with him, walk with him and walk in the light as he is in the light. You have to examine yourselves where you're at tonight. But I'm still convinced that Christianity today, and I'm sure many of you are, that there is much, much unregenerate people, many, many unregenerate people who say they have been delivered from darkness. But their lives tell another story. Their lives tell the story of darkness, but they now speak the words of light. But what fellowship hath light with darkness? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. And the Bible clearly teaches that if you're a child of God, get ready for the chastening of God if you're not walking with God. He loves, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even his sons whom he correcteth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 2, because this was even something that took place in the New Testament times. False professions didn't just take place today. It's a common problem. 8, we see Simon, a sorcerer, who made a false profession, believed and was baptized. But he just wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit for his own gain. He wanted that power, but he didn't know what he was receiving. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul outlines the beautiful, precious gospel, look what he says in verse 2 before he tells us exactly what the gospel is. Well, verse 1 as well, we read it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There are people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. Yeah. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but in vain. It's empty. It's not a real faith. The Bible teaches that faith without works is dead. So if your faith isn't working, you've got the wrong faith. You haven't got true saving faith. Your faith should be a reflection of your life in Jesus Christ, and you should just shine brightly. That's just what happens when you get born again. Obviously we struggle with sin. Obviously we all have our battles, and anyone who would put their hand up and say, I have no sin, the Bible says is a lie and the truth is not in him. So we don't deny that. We're not teaching that, but I am saying very clearly that there should be a change. And we have to be aware that there is something called vain belief. There is something called vain belief. It comes to those, it's upon those who truly haven't from their hearts repented and believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say to you, there is mercy with God. And there is grace with God. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not cast you out. He will in no wise cast you out. If you come to him, he will save you. But you have to be honest with him. You have to be genuine. So we're called to purity. We have a call to purity to remember where we came from. And to that we were from in darkness, and now we're in light. But then we have a call to shine. Come to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll have a look at verse number 8. There's a call to purity, but there's a call to shine. We cannot shine unless our lives are pure. We cannot shine unless we are free from known sin, that our hearts have been right before God, and that we've really confessed our sin before him. But in verse number 8, he says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you children in the Lord, and now you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. This is a call a specific call to walk in the light as children of the light. It's a call to shine. It's a call to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a call to change your conduct. It's a call to shine in your conduct and in your life, that when people see you, that they will see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if God is light, and it says we are children of light, what is that saying? We're children of God. And what is it saying? If God is light and we need to walk in the light, we need to walk in the ways of God. We need to walk in the characteristics, the way that God would have us to walk, the way that God presents himself in the Word. We need to be imitators and followers of God, that we might shine our lights before the unsaved world. But we have too many people talking, but not enough people walking. We need to walk in the light, not talk the light. You know, light has no sound. How's that? Light has no sound. Makes no noise. But you can see it. And we have too many people saying, oh, look at me, I'm holy, I'm pure, I'm righteous, but there's no reflection of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining through their hearts. It's really sad. I love Jesus. You've heard that a lot, I'm sure. I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus, my best friend. And yeah, sure, that's great. Let's jump in your car and go for a drive. What music are you listening to? You love Jesus? Let's have a look at your wardrobe. You love Jesus? How's your witnessing going? You reaching the lost? I love Jesus. Really. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. He said, if you love me, don't just say it. He said, do it. That's what matters to God. It's the conversation that counts. Not the lips, but the lifestyle. That's what God looks at. That's what pleases God. Not I love Jesus. Not I'm in church on this day and that day and all that. No, he wants to see a changed life. He wants to see a life that shines. He wants to see a life that reflects his glory and his beauty and his majesty, that the unsaved world will look and say, wow, he's a different man. He's a changed man. He's a regenerate man. Where did he get that from? Well, it's not from himself, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, where did it come from? Hey, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you where it came from. He died on the cross for your sins to save you. And if you trust in him, he'll give you the blessed Holy Spirit to help you shine. Call to walk. It's a call to shine. Obedience. We must be obedient to this calling. We must walk as children of the light. How do I do that? Or do we walk in the Spirit? Look at verse number 9. Very clearly explains how we do that. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's pretty straightforward. Walk as children of the light, then you see the colon. Then it says, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But first we see that we must walk in the Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit comes from being filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is now lived out through you. Meaning you don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. As the Apostle Paul said, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what that means? He was shining. Shining forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And here we see that if you want to live the Spirit-filled life, you have to first die. Not physically. Die to yourself. Every ambition, every dream, every plan, every relationship, everything. Lay it all aside for the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You want to follow Christ? Deny yourself. That's the place to start. I want to walk in the Spirit? Well, that means your flesh has to die. Because if they're two contrary things, they're not going to walk together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? They don't agree. In any way, shape or form, one must die that the other might walk. And the Spirit, if you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, first the flesh must die. And if the flesh doesn't die, you're going to be spiritually dead and the flesh is going to live. You cannot serve two masters. You either hate the one, despise the other, you hold to one. You cannot serve God and mammon. Same with the spiritual life. If I want to walk in the Spirit, the flesh has to die. The affections of the flesh have to die. The ways of the flesh have to die. The pride has to die. That means I have to come before the Lord not just as I come before him on my usual occasions when I say my prayers to him, but I need to come flat on my face before him and say, God, I'm a wretched sinner. And like the Apostle Paul gets to that point in Romans chapter 7 where he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In chapter 6 he sees that victory is possible. In chapter 7 he sees the struggle that goes on. And in chapter 8 he walks in spiritual victory. But where did the transition take place? At the end of verse chapter 7. A wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the rest of that verse tells us. We must have a total distrust for our flesh and a total dependence on God, that we might abide in the vine. And when we abide in the vine, our light will shine. And if you look at verse number 8, it says here, for we were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. The light comes from the Lord. If you are not in the Lord, there is no light. So if I want to shine brightly, I need to abide in Him. I need to come to the point in my life where I am not living anymore, but it's Christ living in me. Who's living in your life tonight? Who is it? Is it you or is it Christ? Is it one or the other? Who's alive? Is it the flesh or is it spirit? Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If I want to shine as children of light, if I want to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to start testing things. I need to start proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Meaning when I'm confronted with various situations, I need to start putting my, here's a word, a dirty word in our day, judgment. Ooh. But he which is spiritual judgeth all things. It's a Bible word. You discern. You discern what's right and what's wrong. You match up everything by the word of God. And you be proving those things, whether they be acceptable in the sight of the Lord or not. You need to do that. If you want to stay away from these worldliness, if you want to shine as a bright light, you need to prove everything that comes through your eyes, everything that comes through your ears, whether you should be listening to that, whether I should be looking at that, whether I should be going there. Why? Because as soon as I let that defile me, the light starts to dim. And the flesh starts taking over again. And Christ says, okay, he is not choosing me anymore, he's choosing the flesh. Until you come and repent again and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to shine brightly again. And then the flesh goes down again and the light starts to shine again. And God in His mercy will do that to you thousands of times if you come humbly before Him. And what a gracious and merciful God. So we separate from these things, we stay away from these things, so we can walk and shine as lights. We walk in the Holy Spirit, we prove and test all things. And verse number 12, and the last part of verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things which have done of them in secret. Meaning that I now need to not have communion with these works of darkness if I want to shine brightly, but I need to now reprove them. Meaning not only do I need to stay away from them, but I need to confront them. It's funny, when you confront something, man, you're really saying a big statement about it. You know, for me personally, what happened was when I first did my first time street preaching, I've handed out gospel tracts before and you know, praise God, street preaching is not, you know, it's not the be all and end all. But for me, that was something special because when I stood up and I had to literally lift up my voice before a lot of people and really just proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was really making a stand. Like people would look at me and say, okay, crazy preacher. Oh, that's who he is? Yep. And they're locking me in. Okay, crazy preacher. You're really making a stand. You're really coming to the point where you're confronting darkness and you're saying that I don't agree with this. It's really staying away from secret discipleship. But obviously we can, various other ways, go and proclaim Christ to all our friends and our neighbours and on the streets. But that's one way in which we can shine brightly as light and reprove the works of darkness. And when we confront the workers of darkness, whether they be your friends trying to offer you something that you shouldn't be taking in, it's not just enough to say no, you should say, no, that's not right. No, 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 I don't want to partake in that. Well, you need to reprove them. You need to admonish them. Because that's going to make you not only tell them what is wrong, but it's going to show you where you stand. It's not like, no, I don't feel like it. It's like, no, I don't believe in it. A big difference. Big difference. Some people might say no to some sin because they just don't feel like it at that time, perhaps. But no, when you say no, I believe this, I'm not going to do this, you're approving the works of darkness. And it's helping you to walk in the Spirit. It's helping you to shine your light brightly to those wicked and perverse generation in which we live. Verse number 12, it talks about these things which are done in secret, which we should not even be speaking of, that's how vile and wicked they are. Look at verse number 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. All of them, all of these sins, all of these things, all of these wickedness are made manifest or are revealed by light. Okay, illustration of light is being used here. And the point is this. If you're a housewife and you clean, and you will find that you cannot clean with the lights off. Okay, unless there's sunlight coming into the house, of course. But you need to turn the light on. Because when the light's off, you can't see the filth. When the light's off, you can't see the dust. And sometimes I'll go and I'll help out Natalie with some dusting, and I'll go in there and the lights won't be on, and just do my dusting. If you come in and turn the light on and say, oh, you missed the spot. I said, but I got everything. Did I really? No. I missed it. Why? Because the light wasn't on. And when you put the light on, you start to see dirt. When you put the light on, filth is revealed. So we need to turn the light on in our lives. That when people are confronted with us, all of a sudden they start to see the filth in their own lives. That's a powerful testimony. That's a powerful testimony. One thing I hated when I was not walking with the Lord was this. Walking past a preacher, or spending time with a preacher, or spending time with a godly man or woman. Why? I just shrivel. Ugh. They had no idea what was going on with me. They thought I was spiritual, I was in church in my shirt and tie, but I hated it. Because it just felt like I felt filthy before them. I felt dirty. I could all of a sudden see all the filth that's going on in my life. I felt so uncomfortable. Why did I feel uncomfortable? Because I was full of filth. Because their light was shining on me. They didn't even have to say much. I just knew their testimony and it killed me, it burned me. And that's why when I got right with the Lord, none of my friends invited me over anymore. All of a sudden, they started to see a bit of light that would shine on their darkness. And that's the same with us. And we need to shine brightly as lights that we would make manifest the darkness, make manifest the filth, make manifest the workers of iniquity, that they will no longer feel comfortable around us. Listen, unsaved people are not meant to feel comfortable around us. They're not meant to just feel like, oh, I can go wherever I want with this guy, I can say whatever I want to this guy. No, they're not meant to feel that way. We need to shine so brightly as lights that they would look at you and they would say, okay, that's probably the guy I'll go to when I'm in trouble and I need to get my life right. That's what it needs to be like. Not my companion, not my friend, not the one who I'd go to mess around with, but I want to be making my life a light that I'll expose the workers of darkness and their dark works and their sinful ways. And as children of light, we need to separate from darkness, reprove these things, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can shine brightly so that our testimony will be a bright light. When we spend time with God, you start to shine. When you spend time in the presence of God, you start to shine. When you spend time in God's Word and obedience to God's Word, you start to shine. And all of a sudden, you'll start to see that those people you spend time with won't really like you as much as they used to anymore. And you've done nothing. Well, you've just shined. You've done what you're supposed to do. Let's look at an illustration I wanted to share with you first and foremost. But come to John chapter 3 as I share this illustration. John 3, 19 to 21. In the olden days, the people that would do sculptures, the sculptors, they would sometimes use wax. And some of you heard this illustration. I used it in Life Stages and I got it from a book which was an absolute blessing. But they would use wax. And what would happen is that they would sculpture and they would make something beautiful and nice. But when there was imperfections and when there were things that perhaps chipped here and there or dents here and there, they would use wax just to fill up those imperfections. So they would use wax and they would sell this item, this sculpture to somebody, and someone would come and they'd pick it up and that would be wonderful. Look at this wonderful eagle perhaps, or look at this wonderful lion. I'm going to put that in my house. It's a wonderful stone sculpture. So they go and they put it in their house. And what would happen is that those that use wax, when the sun used to shine into their house or in their garden or wherever it may be, all of a sudden, the wax started to melt. And the wax would melt and melt, and then the imperfections would show and show. And then the people would know, I've been tricked. I bought a sculpture that had wax, so So people would sell them and say, this sculpture is without wax, meaning it's genuine. But the light melted the wax and the imperfections were seen. Now look at John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, and just watch out this beautiful picture here. John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And here it says that those people, that when Jesus came into the world, and he was the light of the world, and when he shined so brightly that people didn't like it, people hated the light. They didn't want to come to the light. Why didn't they want to come to the light? Was there anything wrong with Jesus? No. He was without sin. How could there be something wrong with him? Because it says when they came to the light shined and they could see that their deeds were evil, that their deeds were dark, that their deeds were corrupted, and then all they cared about was their own selfishness and their own pride and their own ways and their own worldly wisdom and their own philosophies, and that they would come and they wouldn't want to come to the light because in the light of Christ it would shine and the darkness would be revealed. And no longer did they want Christ anymore. So they crucified him. Why? Because he shined so brightly that he hurt them. That he hurt their eyes with a godly testimony. He hurt their eyes with a light that shined before men. And they couldn't handle him anymore. They didn't like him anymore. Because he reproved the workers of darkness. Even the religious ones. That stood out like they would shine as lights. But he still showed their darkness by his light. Oh, they were dark in different ways. They couldn't help that woman who was caught in adultery. They wanted to stone her to death. They were dark in different ways. They wanted to judge different people and put down people. They didn't want to help and love anybody. They didn't want to go to the leper and look after him. And they didn't want to care for those things. They were dark. And they didn't want to come to Christ because their deeds would be revealed. And some of you are not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight because you know that the moment you stand in the light of his glory, your sin will flash before your eyes like never before. And then when you stand there, you won't know what to do. And you don't want it. You love your sin. You don't want to get away from these things. You keep on living the lifestyle you want to live, so you'll stay there. And stay there, and you'll run away from the light. And that's why people leave church and don't want to come back. That's why people keep moving back and back until they get out the doors, and they don't want to come into church. They don't want to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because the light shines too brightly in there. And the darkness shines on them, and they don't like it. They feel uncomfortable. Praise God. Praise God, and let us shine as lights that when people walk in this door, they'll see there's a bright light shining here. That they will come face to face with their sin and truly repent and believe the gospel. That they won't come in as people who would believe in vain because they're not being confronted with the light. Let our light so shine before men. Let them see it. Does the world love you or does the world hate you? It hated Christ because he shined brightly. Does it love you or does it hate you? Does it love you because you are dark, like they're dark? Or does it hate you and despise you? Because how? He shines too brightly. Can't handle it. He told them to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And let's look at the last verse there. Verse number 14. And it's a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, God says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. God calls you to the light. To come back to the place where you will shine as light. He calls us to awake. Awake from our sleepiness and our spiritual apathy. Awake from our ways which do not please God. Awake from our slumbering spirit and we're resting in darkness. He calls us to awake. To awake, just like somebody who's sleeping and doesn't care about anything else but their own sleep. And when you kind of wake them up in the morning, they don't want to wake up. They don't want to wake up. You really can't even get them up. But they have to make a conscious effort in their mind to say, I'm going to arise now. And we need to also make a conscious effort to arise now. To shine as light. We as the people of God must beg God for a spiritual awakening. In a day of darkness, where the church is sleeping and far from God, we need to really pray and plead with God for an awakening of the people of God. But not only to awake thou that sleepest, but to arise from the dead. The spiritual deadness that has overcome our spiritual condition. Where we're inactive, we're unproductive, we're not bearing fruit as we ought to. It's time to come back to the point where we should arise from the dead, resurrect from the dead, and Christ will give us light. You can't get light on your own. Christ will give you light. When you make a conscious effort to repent from your ways, when you make a conscious effort to confess your sin before the Lord that I'm not shining as I ought to, when you make a conscious effort to say, Lord, it's time, I need to awake, I need to arise from the dead. When you say this to God and confess your spiritual apathy and position, and you say, God, I'm wretched, I'm stuck, I need your help, get me out of this. The Bible says Christ will give thee life. That's the promise of God. The promise of God is that when you hit rock bottom, He'll be there to pull you up and give you the light of the glorious gospel if you're not saved, or He'll give you the light of the Lord Jesus Christ as you abide in Him to shine brightly. It comes from Him. It's His light. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the light of the world. And He will cause His face to shine upon you if you will come to Him and say, Lord, I need the light. I'm dead. I'm sleeping. I need to be awakened. I need to be raised from the dead. I need to shine again. I need to shine by living a pure and holy life. Lord, give me that light. And then He'll shine His face upon you. Then the glory of the Lord will fill your heart, and then you'll shine brightly as the sun. Last verse before we close, Philippians 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The question is, are you shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ? How's the light? How is your light? Let's pray.